Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation will continue this worship service singing together from Psalter 221, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might, come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 221, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning can be found in Psalm 42. We'll read the whole psalm. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Miser. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Thus far.
Let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of heaven and earth, thou who art high above the heavens, and art looking down upon all of us at this very moment. And Lord, we're all corrupt. We're all sinful. We have all left thee in paradise, and we all have our own actual sins. Lord, may each of us then put her hand in her own bosom and say, guilty. But yet, Lord, we pray that in the congregation there may be earnest prayer at thy throne of grace for one of our members to be led to true repentance, that the member's heart may break, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, this member may see that it's sin, and that this medicine of love that may be used may be brought powerfully by the work of the Holy Spirit, and that this member may come guilty, confessing, against thee, thee only have we sinned and done this evil in thy sight. But may it also be true for all of us, Lord. We all need true repentance. As thou hast said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. O give then that as a congregation we may then pray for one another. Pray for one another's never dying soul, because soul lost, all lost. And that we may then in this way also, as thy word says, fulfill the law of Christ, that we pray for one another and bear one another's burdens. Lord, give then by thy Spirit a praying congregation at thy throne of grace for our own souls, but the souls of all those in this congregation. Lord, then in this morning again, on this beautiful day, the first day of the week, we may again enter into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word. It's a token of thy long-suffering patience and mercy unto us unworthy sinners, that thou hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but thou art yet seeking and crying and praying unto us, turn ye, for why will ye die? O, we beg thee then that through the preaching of the word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that dead sinners may come alive, and that dead sinners may then also begin to thirst and hunger for thee, for the living God. Lord, we confess by nature there is no thirst for thee. There's only thirst for self, sin in the world. And yet by thy grace, by thy renewing free and sovereign grace, sinners will begin to thirst for thee. Lord, thou knowest those who are thirsting, hungering, thirsting for the living God. O, wilt thou then remember them? Remember us all in this week of self-examination. Lord, that thou would then testify with thy Spirit all thy dear people with their spirits, and that they may have that light from above and comfort, and that they may be drawn to the table to remember the Lord's death, and that thou would feed and nourish their hungry and thirsty souls with thyself. Lord, then give then that we may search our own hearts, and that we may come before thee and be honest and open, and that thou would show us who we are. And Lord, we beg thee then that those that must be uncovered, uncover them, and that they may be led to true repentance. Those who must confess that they missed thy grace, O, wilt thou then give that urgency, not only that they cannot come to the Lord's Supper, but that they are not prepared to die and to meet thee, because they are sin from head to toe, and thou wilt then be that consuming fire who must cast them out. O Lord, we beg thee then give urgency not to come to the Lord's Supper in the first place, but an urgency to be reconciled with thee, a holy, just, but also a merciful and a gracious God, through thy dear Son, him who has an abundance of water for the vilest of sinners. Lord, we beg thee for all thy dear people. Lord, care for them in this week. Oh, give in this morning that thy word may be clear, that it may be dividing, separating the precious from the vile, from thy dear people, from those who are yet unbelievers, from the godly and the ungodly, from the almost Christian and the altogether Christian, from the hypocrite and from those who are thy dear lambs and the sheep. Lord, help them. Give that it may be clear, that it may be according to thy word, and that thou would work mightily, irresistibly, by thy word and spirit. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would remember the whole congregation. Oh, give a true self-examination. We need it, Lord, not only to attend, but to know, are we prepared to meet thee? We beg and pray thee, remember all those who are mourning, comfort them, those who have lost children, those who have lost a husband, a wife, remember the widows, those who have lost a brother, a sister, a friend, or other relative. Oh, sanctify these callings, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we ask thee, especially in this morning, remember Mrs. Marilyn Boder, who is on her bed failing, humanly speaking, on her deathbed. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, remember her in thy mercy, and sanctify this calling also to her family. Oh, may they see the wages of sin is death, and that there may be urgency, but may they also hear of that gift of life through thy Son, that only Savior. Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted, those who have had surgery and could return home. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast made all things well in thy mercy. Give recovery, give help. Remember those who are suffering from pain and need surgery in the future. Care for them, Lord. Remember us all with all our cares and needs for body and for the mind. Bless the means that may be used, Lord. And we beg thee that thou would sanctify all these callings. Lord, we confess thou art speaking through thy word and all the acts of thy providence, and our hearts by nature are so hard. We are hard-hearted. We hear it, but we carry on. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, break hard hearts. Take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh, hearts that hunger and thirst for thee, for the living God, hearts that confess sin, become guilty, lost, and can find no way to be reconciled with thee. But wilt thou also reveal and show and teach and lead and guide poor and needy, thirsting, hungry sinners in that only way of salvation through thy dear Son, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. O Lord, we beg thee that there may be bread for the hungry through thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be water for the thirsty from him, from thee, who is that fountain of life. O Lord, we beg thee that have mercy upon us. And thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. O come among us today. Give us a good day in thy house, where man is brought down in the dust, and thou art exalted to the highest. Oh, that it may be the end of this day to the honor, to the glory of thy name, to the coming of thy kingdom, that the angels may rejoice in heaven over sinners that are brought to repentance. But Lord, we beg thee, it's thy work. It's only by thee and by thy grace and by the power of thy Holy Spirit. There's no help in us. There's no help in man. We have destroyed ourselves. But thou hast said, in me is thy help. Oh, may we together then lift up our voices in supplication unto thee, that almighty, covenant-keeping, faithful Jehovah, who will seek and who will save a people, an unworthy people, and who will feed them with thyself. O Lord, we beg thee then that thou would remember us in thy mercy through thy dear Son. O wilt thou give then answers to questions in the hearts of sinners. Take away riddles. Make it clear, Lord, that thy Spirit would testify with all thy dear children that they know of thy grace, that thou knowest of them, and wilt thou come and visit them, that they may have a little refreshing water. May it be this morning already through thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give the unction to preach, Lord. We're a son of man. There's nothing in us. We need everything from thee. Give much prayer. Give much opening, Lord, and bless thy word. We beg and pray thee that thou would help then the children to listen and that they may understand and receive thy word. O Lord, give them those blessings that no parent can give them, that no man can give them. Give them a new heart. Remember the teenagers. Oh, may they see the service of the Lord is the best service, and to live without thee is nothing. It's empty. They are in utter want. But oh, to belong to that faithful Savior, then we can sing like David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Lord, remember the older ones. Remember those who cannot come to thy house. Care for them, visit them, and bless thy word in their home. Remember those in Bethany Care Home. Care for each of them also. Oh, wilt thou teach them? The young can die, but the old must die. Oh, prepare them and all of us for that day that we must leave this life and stand before thee. Oh, teach us those necessary lessons, that grace thou revealest unto the saints. Reveal it unto us and unto our children, that we are sin, that thou art holy and just, and thou can by no means clear the guilty. But oh, what a wonder, in thy infinite wisdom, thou hast thought of a way out of thy own overflowing fountain of heart of love through thy dear Son, the Son of thy love, that thou hast given him not only to be born, but to suffer and to die, to open that way back to thee that we have closed and are unable and unwilling to open, and that we have opened that only way to eternal wrath. O Lord, show us then of the wonders of thy grace, and work mightily and give a blessing for thy name's sake. Lord, we beg thee, help all thy servants throughout the world, among Jew and Gentile, that thy kingdom may come. Bless all mission work locally in prisons. Open the way also for men to go to prison to share thy word, and bless it richly also to those in prisons. Remember also the responsibility and the privilege thou hast given us as a denomination to work in that country of Bolivia. Lord, remember the Bolivian people. Bless thy word richly, mightily, powerfully, irresistibly to them, that among them also many may be sought, may be found, and may be gathered into that one fold under that one shepherd. Help all thy servants there, the church workers and their families. Remember the elders, the deacons, and remember also Pastor Marco. Lord, help them. Help all thy servants, Lord. We're sinners. We need thy grace. We need thy Spirit. And may we be a simple voice, crying in the wilderness, pointing to that only way, and that thou would bless it. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us. Thou could righteously pass us by. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, for thy dear people, that they may be fed and that sinners may be converted. Come among us and work mightily, irresistibly, we beg and ask, in the forgiveness of all our many sins, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us now continue with singing from Psalter 416, the first three stanzas, and more if necessary for the collection. 416, verse 3 and more if necessary. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. Yea, a thirst for thee I cry, God of life, O when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee? And the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the NRC Disaster Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ instructed his dear beloved church, his children, to remember his death until he returns. How are they to remember his death? Well, he instituted the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Who are those who are called to attend? Who are those who are worthy communicants to come to sit at that table? Who are those that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said, that I with desire to eat with them? Who are they? Well, we know those well-known, clear, biblical, experiential marks of remissary, deliverance, and of gratitude. All of God's children have something of these three clear marks. And they experience this, and when it's well, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper unto the end of their life. It's a continual cycle of misery, deliverance, and gratitude. But what other clear description of God's children, of whom the Lord invites to come to the table? What other clear description do we read also in the form? I will read you a paragraph from the form, from the second part. Listen. Listen to who is invited. I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. So what's the description, congregation? Children, did you hear it? Who are they? Who will he feed? Who will he nourish? Hungry and thirsty souls. These are the worthy communicants. These are God's children whom he calls to remember his death. Hungry and thirsty souls. The Almighty God, by his free and sovereign grace, seeks them, saves them, and he makes them hungry and thirsty for himself. And the King of the Church, he who instituted the Lord's Supper, invites them to come, not only in the gospel, but also especially at the Lord's Supper to come. And he wants to feed and nourish them with himself. What a wonder. And we read in Luke 1 verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Are you a hungry, thirsty sinner by God's grace? And with the Lord's help, in this week of examination, and this morning as a preparatory sermon, we will consider what we read in God's precious word, what we read in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. To the chief musician, Mashiel, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So far from God's precious word. The theme, the thirsty soul. The thirsty soul. First thought is, what is a thirsty soul? Do you have a thirsty soul? So what is a thirsty soul? We read in verse 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brooks. And then we read in verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And then our second thought, for whom does a living, thirsty soul thirst for? For whom? What do we read in the text? So panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. So, the thirsty soul. What is a thirsty soul? And for whom does a thirsty, living soul thirst for? Well, we read in verse 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. So, we hear of panting and thirsting. Children, when you run a race, you know what it is like to need air. You're panting. And on a hot day, you know what it is to thirst. And we know this. We have a natural panting. We know that. We have a natural thirst. And by nature, we are all thirsty. All thirsty, yes. All of us are thirsty. We left the overflowing fountain of good, and we have become absolutely thirsty. But we tried to quench it with everything except God. That's our great sin. Listen to what Jeremiah said. In Jeremiah 2 verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils." What are those two evils? Listen. "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns," broken cisterns that can hold no water. By nature, we are all panting, thirsting to please self, trying to fill our hearts with the things of this world in a very worldly way or in a very self-righteous way, lost with a thirst as a Pharisee or thirst as a prodigal, both lost, thirsty, but lost. Congregation, this is our guilt. We're guilty because we left the fountain of overflowing good and we only tried to quench that thirst that we have in our heart for everything but God. And I want to ask you right now, are you still only thirsting for the world, for pleasures, to satisfy your lust, for sin? Is that you still? And you have no thirst for God, no thirst for Jesus Christ. Congregation, if this is you, you are not invited to attend the Lord's Supper. It's for God's dear children, and He promises to nourish and to feed their hungry souls. Jesus does not promise to feed these ones at the Lord's Supper. They must abstain for the glory of God and for their own soul. And if they still come, no, we cannot look in their hearts. I cannot stand there and say, "You may not come, you may come." No, I can't see the heart. God sees them. But if these ones still persist and come, we read it clearly, they drink judgment unto themselves. And so now we have this burning question. What is a thirsty soul? I need to know. I don't want to deceive myself. Is that you? Which are the ones that the Lord says He will certainly feed and nourish their hungry and thirsting souls? That man is described in Psalm 42. That one who may attend is described so beautifully in Psalm 42, the one who thirsts and pants for God. What is the poet expressing with panting and thirsting? No, it's not about running a race and being tired. No, it's nothing to do with a hot day and needing natural thirst. No, it's a deep need in the soul. Listen. Listen to the word of God. And as we hear of what it is, that life of grace in the heart of one of God's children, inspired in the word of God in Psalm 42, lay your heart next to it, Gregory. That's what we're called to do. Do I know something? Do I know something of this true thirst, of this panting for God? Do I know of these experiences, something of them in my own life also? So what is a thirsty soul? Well, David, we believe he may be the author, but that's not so important. But the poet, let's say the poet, he's sitting far away from Jerusalem. He's sitting on a hill and he sees a deer. A deer comes running, maybe wounded, maybe an arrow in, maybe hunters pursuing, maybe they were wild animals. And he sees this deer coming, standing there. And he sees that deer panting heavily. And he can imagine the burning thirst on this hot day that is in that deer. That deer has escaped his enemies. And who they are, we don't know. But he sees the deer standing there. And this deer has used all his energy to escape, and now he stands there. And David, he sees this. He sees this deer, or the poet, he sees this deer standing there with an intense need for water, for air, hunger, thirst. He needs a refreshing water. He has an intense need deep, and David sees this. David sees this deer, and he says, "That's me. That's me. That's a picture of me. That's a picture of my soul." What a picture! That's the life in my soul of this deer that's panting and thirsting, longing for refreshing water. He's sitting there, this author. He's standing there, and he sees that deer panting, burning with thirst. And then he takes up his pen and he writes, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him?" What is a thirsty soul? A soul which thirsts for God. There comes a thirst for the Almighty Living God that they never had before in their life. It's a soul which is born again, a soul that has spiritual life from above. How will a dead sinner that only pants and thirsts for everything of this world, for self, to please self, how will a dead sinner ever begin to thirst for God? How? How will a sinner who only pants and has intense desires for self, for the world, and sin, ever begin to ever pant, thirst for the living God? Who has this thirst? Who has this thirst in verse 1 and verse 2, and we read in other parts of the Bible? Who thirsts for God at times with such intense desire and need? May I ask a question? Does an unregenerate boy, girl, man, woman have this thirst? And now we come to the canons of the word again. Because ask one who does not believe in total depravity. Ask them. And in the rejection of the chapter of the corruption of man, they reject that man is totally depraved and nothing good, spiritually dead. And the answer, listen, that the unregenerate man is not really nor utterly dead in sin, nor destitute of all powers unto spiritual good, but that he or she can yet hunger and thirst after righteousness and life, and offer the sacrifice of a contrite and broken spirit, which is pleasing to God. And our forefathers rejected this great error. No unregenerate sinner will ever hunger and thirst for the living God as described in the Word of God, because they're dead in sins and trespasses. Because they only have the thoughts of the heart is only evil continually. And they will not ever of themselves, without God's renewing grace, ever begin to hunger and thirst for the living God. This is not one who's spiritually dead. This is one who's living. It's not one who's had an education and read the book of the education of experiences of God and can just repeat things. No. It's not one who has many things in his head, but it's one who has a deep need in the profound depth of his soul, his heart, his whole being, thirsts for God. For a little refreshing water for his soul from God. From God. He needs grace. He needs everything from God. This hunger and thirst that we read, that thirsty soul, it's by God's grace. It's the life of a regenerated sinner. My soul panteth after thee. My soul thirsteth. What is a thirsty soul? A thirsty soul is a recipient of grace, of one who has been made alive, has spiritual life. May I ask you, are you regenerated? That's a big question. Are you born again? How may you know? Do you know something? Has there come a thirst, a hunger in your life for the living God? Are you panting for the living God? Do you know something of this? A thirsty soul, we read of. And let's go through Psalm 42. Because these first two verses are a heading, and the rest of the psalm is explaining what a thirsty soul is. So let's go through the psalm. Let's listen to the word of God so we may know absolutely biblically and correctly what is a thirsty soul. So you may know and I may know what is a thirsty soul. Open your Bible to Psalm 42. We read in verse 2 a phrase, "Tears have been my meat day and night." So they're mourners. They begin to mourn. And sometimes it comes so intense that their food is just their tears. They can't sleep. They can't eat. Sometimes it can come to such depths. So they mourn. But then we read also in verse 10 in the morning, "Why go I mourning?" So they're mourners. They're mourners because of sin. Because of sin against the holy and the good-doing God. But there's more in the text because it's connected to a question. It's connected to that question, that taunting question of the enemy. Where is thy God? And so you see this poet, he's in a time of trouble, far away, separate from the place and worship of God. He's in trouble, far away, the hill miser. And so those sinners can come in the times of trouble, times of affliction, times where they only see all their sin and all their flesh burn so strongly. And then the enemy comes, that great enemy, and he assaults. And those thirsty souls can feel, they can feel so forgotten. And then that enemy whispers, "Where is thy God? Where is he?" He taunts, he comes, he assaults those thirsty souls. And he says, for example, "Is this who God is? Why are you here so far away? Why are you in such trouble? Why are you in such afflictions? Why? Where is thy God? Is this the one in whom you trust? Is this the one you are here when you're so down, so depth? Is this who God is? Is this whom the one you confess?" As we read in the psalm, and that enemy assaults, "Where is thy God?" May I ask you, do you know something of this? Mourning because of sin? Mourning because of the assaults of the enemy taunting, assaulting you? And oh, how that grieves the soul when he hears false accusations against his God. But what do those souls also sometimes do, which deeply grieves them because of their hearts of unbelief and wickedness? Still, there's that thirst. But you know what they do? They start to listen to that voice. And they start to agree also. And they can have such hard thoughts against God. And that deeply grieves them. They want to get rid of it, but they can't. Where is thy God? Do you know something of this? Of the assaults of the enemies? A thirsty soul. He mourns. But he also pours out his heart. He pours out his heart to God. We read this in verse 4. "I pour out my soul in me." He pours it all out. All his troubles. All his woes. All his needs. All his unbelief. All, everything, he pours it out. He prays to God. Do you know a place of pouring out your heart, of all your sin, of all your wickedness, also of your unbelief against God? Do you know that? Or is it just all joy? No assaults, no mourning. Put a question mark behind it, my dear friend. A question mark. Thirsty souls know of a deep need and of wretchedness, of guilty. They thirst and they hunger for God, and they pour out their soul unto God. They pray. But a thirsty soul does not only mourn. At times he has hope. Those thirsty ones, through the word, through the preaching, they can have hope. They can be in God's house with the multitude on that day to worship the Lord. We read in verse 4, "For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day." So they can thank back of times, not only of mourning, not only of unbelief, of times of a little hope, not in self, but hope in another, hope in God, hope in that only almighty living God. What is a thirsty soul? A thirsty soul also can feel cast down, verse 5. They can also feel so cast down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And they speak to themselves. They know it. It's real. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? In the times in the past, maybe they had a little hope. Maybe they had a little joy in another. Maybe they could be in God's house and they could sing those psalters with their heart and mouth. It just poured out. They could praise the Lord. But now, separated. Now, in that place, far from God, and they say, and why disquieted within me? Distress, anxious about their own soul. What stands the case with my soul? How is it with my soul? Because soul lost, all lost. They want to know. They want to hear from the word of God, the true life, so that they may know. They want to know it from God. Do you know of mourning? Do you know of a time of hope, a little hope in another, of joy, of praise? But do you also know of times of being cast down, of being anxious over your own soul? The hypocrite does not know this. The hypocrite doesn't know that combat with faith and unbelief. They don't know the assaults of Satan because Satan knows they are lost. He doesn't need to assault them. He can let them peacefully go on that way where they think they are on the right way, but they're on the wrong way because they miss thirsting and panting for God. What is a thirsty soul? In all these troubles, in all these distresses, in all these things, but hopes in God. Really? Psalm 42, verse 5. My soul, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And we also read in verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Afflicted. Grieving, missing, mourning, and yet hoping. A little hope in that soul, in another. Trust in another. What is a thirsty soul? A thirsty soul can be overwhelmed with all the troubles of his sins, of afflictions, of troubles in his life. Wave after wave comes over him, as we read in Psalm 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the waterspouts. And all thy waves and thy billows are going over me. They're overwhelmed with all their sin and all their who they remain to be, a thirsty soul. What is a thirsty soul? What is another description in this psalm? Verse 9, why hast thou forgotten me? They can feel also at times forgotten. In the times past, it might have been sweet. But they may feel so forgotten again. And so in summary, what is a thirsty soul? It's a living soul. It's a soul which has God's grace. And they have a thirst in their heart, in their life for God, planted by God. And they're missing. They're missing that again. They long that the Lord would come, that the Lord would visit again or for the first time. Their heart is dry. It's thirsty. They're like that deer panting and thirsting for the water brooks. They're panting and thirsting for God, for the living God, that he would come and visit them, that they would have a little refreshment for the soul from him by his grace through the merits of Jesus Christ. In times past, maybe they had a little drop of water of grace upon their souls and they could have joy, they could sing. And now it's become all dry again. Is that you, as you enter the week of preparatory, all dry, hard, cracked, broken, missing? What is it? Lord, what is it with my soul? Is it life? Have I deceived myself? Is it all wrong? Hast thou forgotten me? Wave after wave upon your head, upon your soul. But also those who maybe have been thirsting and longing, the Lord has put life in their heart, and they have begun to hunger and thirst, but they have not yet tasted. Oh, if the Lord would come and give a little taste, it'd be so wonderful. And they struggle, and they question, what is it? How is it with my soul? And they long for the Lord to come to give a little sip. They long for the living God. They miss God, and they cry for deliverance. Open your Bibles to Psalm 143. This psalm beautifully explains a thirsty soul. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And listen, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And listen, deliver me, O Lord, from thine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. There you have it, a description of a thirsty soul. So that's our first thought. Do you know something of a thirst, of this thirst, of a thirst for God, for Him, and for Him alone? Let's sing now from Psalter 390. Psalter 390, standing, and we will sing all three stanzas. Lord, hear me in distress, regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws no man is justified. 390, all three stanzas standing. Thank you. the thirsty soul. Could you sing that psalter with your heart? Is that your heart? The thirsty soul. We heard a little of what a thirsty soul is from the Word of God. Do you have a thirsty soul? But now the second thought, for whom does a thirsty living soul thirst for? The deer cannot live without water. It must have water. Its thirst must be quenched to be able to live, to continue in that escape from the wild animal or the hunter. And there's an urgency. And that regenerated heart, that heart that thirsts for the living God, there's an urgency which was not there before. He needs water. He needs grace. He needs help. The living thirsty soul cannot help himself anymore. It's all come to an end. It comes to an end in their life. And they need one to help. They need one. They cannot live without God. There's an urgency. There's a healthy desperation. Yes, a healthy desperation unto God. Unto God. They need grace. They need water. They need living water in their soul. Who can help such thirsty souls? Who can help those mourning ones? Who can help those so troubled, so afar off? Those who have wave coming over them. Those who are assaulted. Where is thy God? Those who have so much unbelief mixed also with faith. Yes. Who can help those that feel so forgotten, that hunger and thirst for the living God as the heart panteth for the water brooks? Who can help them? Who has power? Who is the one who can only give that living water that they need for their soul? Who is the only one that is that fountain of overflowing grace for the vilest of sinners? Who can help a panting, a thirsting sinner? Ask the poet. Poet, who can help you? Who can help that deer? He could say he needs water. Who can help you? Who can help your soul? He gives an answer. He gives an answer. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, for the only almighty living God of heaven and earth. And he knows he can have no rest until he can rest in him through Christ. Augustine, he said, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until it finds rest in thee. And these thirsty souls, they know that this is true. They know they can have no rest until they can know that good rest only in God through Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. He wants to make sure I don't have anything in self that can quench this thirst anymore. He wants to make it sure and clear. There's only one. I can't find it in self. I can't find it in any other way. Maybe he's tried for a long time, and they do try, but it all comes to death. And he says, there's only one God, that living God. He knows, they know in whom their help is. It's in one, that almighty God. A true believer, those true communicants are a living, thirsty soul. A living soul, and they need to have their thirst quenched, and they begin to know it's in another, it's in God, and it's only through that Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, they're taught, they're led to come to that, and I will explain. They begin to cry to him, and to him only. Everything else is insufficient. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He hears there's help in one. He knows it's in God. And he begins to cry, deliver me. Help this wretched one. And he hears and he helps at his time. Listen to what we read in Psalm 107, verse 5 and 6. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. They thirst for God. Did you hear it? For the living God. Do you thirst for the living God? Or do you thirst for his help? For his help. Do you need his help? That's good. We should need the Lord in everything. But is that all you need? Has the Lord helped you? And you say, the Lord has helped me so many times. I must be so blessed. I can go to the Lord's Supper. Careful, my friend. Careful. There's many who have been helped in many wonderful ways who are now in the pit of hell. The key question is there thirst? Is there thirst for the living God? Or do you miss that all? And you only need his help. Or do you need his help for everything because you thirst in him? It's only in him. They thirst for God, for him, not in the first place to escape punishment, to escape hell. No, they thirst for God. It's in him. They need God. You can tell those thirsty souls, there's no more consequences for sin. You will not go to hell. Does that satisfy them? Would that satisfy you, thirsty soul? That you could escape all the consequences and that's it? No. Why? Because they miss God. Do you understand? They want to be brought back to that heart of God. They want reconciliation. They want his favor. They want communion. There's a deep hunger for the favor of the living God, that fountain of living waters that they have left. They can't live without him anymore. They need him. When will he come? When will he appear again? When will he speak? When will he visit me? I need him, and I need him alone. And they pray, as we read in Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And so a living soul is a renewed sinner. He becomes alive, and God pours love in his heart, and their love goes back to God. They miss God. They have a hunger for God. God draws them to himself. And he says, when shall I come and appear before God? He longs for God. He wants to come in his presence. He wants God's smile. He wants God's favor. He wants God's communion. When shall I come? They want to see him. They want to see a smile on his face for their own soul. But what do they learn? What do they learn? They're thirsty. They're hungry. Thirsty. But they're separated. Separated. Oh, to be in his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy. They have that deep longing, but they learn separated. Why? What's the cause of separation? What did they learn? Sin. My original sin. My actual sins. And they begin to see that there's a great gulf between them and that God that they hunger and thirst for. And they try to get back through different ways that the Lord would be pleased. Oh, to be brought back. But they find it's impossible. Absolutely impossible. And yet they hunger and thirst and pant for the living God. What is the way back? They need to be taught. They need to be shown. They need to be led, those ones. Is that you? What's the way? What's the way back? It all comes to a dead end. There is no way. Yes, there is a way. Outside of self. Outside of self. They begin to learn it's impossible to make a way that becomes so amazing, that becomes so needed, that becomes so precious, that there's one becomes the only way. That there's one. One. Is there one? Yes, there is one. There's a mediator. And then they hear, a mediator. There's one that can reconcile me with God, whom I thirst for, that I'm cut off. I can never be brought back into favor. There's one. Oh, what a wonder. And then their heart goes out, who is he? I want to hear of him. I want to know who he is. I need him. And he's revealed through the word and through the preaching of one, of only one, of whom the Lord, whom laid upon, whose help is almighty. And the Lord teaches them, and there becomes in that heart of that thirsty sinner for God who's guilty, separate, there comes a thirst, a deep, profound urgency and need for a mediator, for another who is that only Savior, Jesus Christ. They're taught, led, emptied of self, and shown in him, in me, is thy help found. Oh, they want that way back to God, but they know there's such a mountain of sin, and God cannot look upon them at all because of all their sin. They need their sins forgiven. No, not to just escape hell, but because they want God's favor, they want his smile, they want communion, and they know God can never look upon me and show me favor and communion because of all my sin. But then they hear there's another. Who? Jesus Christ, of whom all the sin was laid upon him. What a wonder. And that there is forgiveness in him. Oh, they know they need to be holy because God made them holy, and they're just unholy. But then they learn that in him, in another, in a mediator, there is holiness, there is righteousness to cover them. They only have filthy rags, those thirsty sinners. Is that you, filthy rags? You need your sins forgiven. And you need to be covered, to be able that God could look upon you and smile, covered by another, a righteousness. Who is he? He is the Lord, our righteousness. And they're led farther and taught, you must pay. You must be holy, you must be forgiven, but you must pay, as we heard last Sunday night. And what did they learn? Maybe in the beginning they think they have a little something to pay, but all becomes empty. Impossible. I can never, ever satisfy the justice of God. Is that you? Are you one of these thirsty ones that thirst for God, led to thirst for that only Savior? Those are the ones of whom he invites to come to the table. To the table. And he promises to feed and to nourish them with himself. Oh, they begin to hunger for Christ, for Jesus Christ as the only way back to God. Did you hear it? Not just to be delivered, not just to receive blessings, but to be brought back to God, to his heart for favor, communion, that he could embrace them again. And it would be such a wonder if I could ever be embraced as a son, as a daughter. They thirst and hunger for God, and it becomes impossible in that lesson, in that school of grace. And they are shown through the impossibilities of everything itself, another one who is the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus Christ. My friend, do you hunger and thirst for God? Has it become impossible as a guilty sinner before a just and holy God? And has there become, through the Word and the Spirit, a hope? A hope in another, that he has revealed himself unto you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. My name is Jesus. Jehovah saves. Is there a deep hunger and need for God? And is there a need for that divine Savior? That divine Savior to save you, to reconcile you with God? That you need him. That you need to be reconciled. Not just to be delivered from going down to the pit, but to be reconciled with God. Do you hunger and thirst for another? Who has an abundance? Who has an abundance of living water to quench the thirst of these hungry and thirsty souls that are panting and thirsting for God? Who has an abundance? Who can forgive sins? Who has righteousness to cover? Who has blood to wash? Who has blood to cleanse, to make holy? That precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And he becomes necessary, he becomes suitable, and he becomes most precious. He has an abundance of grace. Thousands can drink daily from him, and he still has an abundance. And he calls, and he says, come, drink. Drink, my beloved, drink in abundance. You may drink, and you will never, ever empty that fountain. But oh, just to have a little drop, to taste a little is so much already of that love, of the forgiveness, of the mercy of God through that Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what satisfies. That's the goodness through God the Father, through His Son, applied by the power of the Holy Spirit, that nourishes, feeds the soul. And how can there be water? Through Him who said, I thirst. And He willingly went that way. I thirst. Separated. Cut off. That Lamb of God who knew no sin and was made sin. He went to the cross. He gave everything. And He thirsted. So that sinners, unworthy, vile, self-destroyed sinners that only deserve to be like that rich man in hell, begging for a drop of water and not received any, forever cut off of the presence of God. He gave everything. He gave so that they can have living water for their soul. What wonders of God's grace. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My friend, do you know something of this thirst? Or must you say, I don't know anything of this thirst at all? Please, for God's glory, do not attend. Do you only thirst for everything self and everything else of the world, but nothing for God and nothing for Christ? Is there no thirst? Please, for the glory of God, do not attend. But what are you called to do? You're called to confess your sin. Yes, today already, to confess it to Him. I only thirst for everything. Thou hast made me to live drinking out of that fountain of living. Thou hast made me so good. I have destroyed myself. Confess it. Go on your knees before the Lord and pour out your heart to Him. And you say, I can't. Beg Him to make you a beggar. And that He would give that grace that you would begin to not find anything in self, anything in the world, it all becomes dry, and that there comes by His grace a thirst for Him and Him alone. He can do wonders, but you who have heard a little description of your life, don't despise the day of small things. Maybe you say, I only had a little drop. A little drop in my life, a little taste of that mercy, a little wonder of that grace. Oh, God sought me. God renewed me. He made me hungry and thirsty for Him because I never had it. It's all of Him. And I tried to find that way back, but it came so impossible. I just became more lost. Absolutely impossible. But then I heard through the gospel of a way, of one, that could bring me back to God. Did you taste a little drop? Don't deny the day of small things. But how is it in your heart today, Church of God? You say it's so dry again. Confess also your dryness. He promises to pour water upon dry, parched grounds. When's the last time that you experienced a little of His loving kindness and now you miss Him so much? Is that true? Are you like in the Song of Solomon's? Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. The poet said, when, at the end of the verse, when shall I come and appear before God? He wants to appear. He wants to see Him. Yes, his heart is not happy with anything else satisfied. He wants to see God. How can you see God? Only through Christ, because God is a consuming fire. He is the image. The glories is all through Christ. And those souls begin to long also for that second person. He's not just a name. Their hearts burn for Him. They hunger for Him. And when He hides his face, they're so troubled. You're troubled. Children, if your mother doesn't look at you for a day, you're troubled. What's wrong? What did I do? You miss it. You want the love of your mother. Well, those thirsty souls, they want to see God's face. They want Him to shine upon them. And it can only be through Jesus Christ, because we read in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of
Jesus Christ. Those thirsty souls, they begin to long for Christ. Do you know something of this grace worked by free sovereign grace? Thirst for God, absolutely impossible and lost in self, and thirst for Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that are welcome. He invites and he promises, I have given my body to the death of the cross and to shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified and shed blood to everlasting life. May we search our hearts. Do I know of this thirst for God and for Jesus Christ? And if you know, then he invites to come, and he promises to nourish hungry, thirsty souls with himself, who is the bread of life. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, search us, try us. Thou knowest our hearts, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in that way of everlasting life. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, work mightily with thy Holy Spirit in this week, and may that enemy, that assaulter, may he be cast out. That if he is speaking, may it only drive thy dear people unto thee, closer to thee, to find everything in thee and in thee alone. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember the whole congregation. May we feel the solemnity, the seriousness, not only to attend when we may not, but also when we must, to not to deny his name. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, make it clear for each one. We beg thee for light from above. Our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, but thou wilt never deceive us. Thou art the one who can give light to teach and to lead and to guide, and we beg thee, draw all thy dear children, the little lambs and the sheep, to that table, and thou hast promised that thou wilt certainly feed them, and may that be our experience, death in self, but life in thee, and may it be a time of sweet communion. Lord, come then with thy presence, with thy blessing, that is all from thee. Keep us in this day. Bring us again here tonight, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close now in singing with Psalter 292, stanzas 1 and 5. 292, 1 and 5. Praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies ever sure. From eternity have stood, to eternity endure. Let his ransomed people raise songs to their Redeemer's praise. 292, 1 and 5.
dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.